And I don't have any slides for the overhead. So for those of you tuning in at home, hopefully you have your Bibles with you, or you can just write down a couple Bible verses. So when thinking about what to do for a devotional tonight, I was thinking back to my Bible college time, and one class that we took was nouthetic counseling. And it was basically Bible counseling. Nouthetic is just a word that means Bible, I think. I don't know. I'd have to look that one up. I didn't do enough research on it to, but it's basically biblical counseling. That's and it comes really, if you think about it, the concepts of counseling and psychology and all that are all worldly ideologies trying to work on the mind and the soul that God put into us to program beings, humans, to do things. And that's what they're looking for, behavioral sciences and psychology, things like that. But they don't get back to the root of it, and that is that God made us. A lot of them want to throw God out and blame all your problems on your parents and evolution or whatever. So they have their own agendas. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, Pastor actually had this verse in a recent message, 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This verse here, we focus a lot on the first part, the source of, you know, of the Bible. It's given by inspiration of God and not the authors, things like that. But that's a focus of it. And the second part, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. On screen keyboard popped up. Sorry. it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what it does. So what it is, what it does, and why it does it is that last piece, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That last part tells us that the Bible is here. It's profitable in these aspects, these areas. It was given at the mouth of God himself. It's breathed in by God himself so that the man or woman of God, the people of God, may be throughly furnished unto all good works. And you think about that word furnished like furniture. You have an empty house. You don't have any way to use the house if you don't have furniture, if it's not furnished. You go into an apartment that's fully furnished. It's got the washing machine and the dryer. It's got all the normal things that you need in order to start living there, in order to use that. So in our lives, we've been given the tools. We've got the sawzall, and we've got the circular saw, and we've got the hammer drill. We've got the tools that we need to do the job at hand. And the job at hand is listed there as well, throughly furnished unto all good works. So we don't need all this psychology stuff, not to say that there's not good pieces of that. If they can get it connected to the Bible and they can properly work it, that's fine. But we don't need all that stuff to be properly furnished and to be functional in doing good work. So, taking the Word of God at face value, that it is useful and it's ready for us. One of the pieces of the Bible counseling that I always remember, and I like to bring this up, is is what you could refer to as replacement therapy. And we see it mentioned in Ephesians 4:22-32. The Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, and skipping down to 24, and that you put on the new man. It's the put off and put on. Now, the world does this as well. They want to replace things. So if you have a bad habit of smoking, they want you to now vape instead of smoking. Or get rid of that nasty habit entirely and start chewing bubble gum or something. And you see people that they didn't ever conquer the thing that was their problem. They just replaced it with another bad thing or with something else that would occupy their time. That comes from Bible principle, but they get it wrong. And so what we want to do, we want to continue this passage, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time, is Ephesians 4:22-32. I should have grabbed this and at least just put it on the overhead. If Ethan's quick enough, he can open it up on online Bible and throw it on the... No, I'm just kidding. He's not going to. I might do that live if we're if we have a speaker who doesn't have his PowerPoint. I might try to grab scripture and throw it up there real quick. But we didn't even turn the projector on because we didn't need it. So we're gonna look through this put off and put on pattern that God has given us. To read 22, 23, and 24, the Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, in verses 25 through 32, we see a couple examples, and these are not all-inclusive, but this is the way God wants us to implement this. This is the practicality. So here's the drill, but what do you do with it? You got to get it up against the piece, and you got to get it actually screwed in. You can spin the drill all day long and maybe bump it into the side of a pack and play and rip a big hole out of the side of the pack and play, but you're not doing the productive work with it. You're just playing with the toy. So verses 25, 29, and 30 are linked together. Wherefore, putting away lying, is verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And jumping down to 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Pastor had just mentioned in another recent message, we do what we do because we are what we are. Okay, we don't sin and then become sinners. We are sinners, and that's why we sin. So if you apply that here as well, a liar, somebody who is speaking things that are not true, boasting, bragging, or even corrupt communication, someone who just cannot, you can't control themselves. They just are speaking corruption all the time. How do you change that person? When are they no longer a liar? When are they no longer a corrupt communicator? It's not when you've taped their mouth shut so they can't talk anymore. You haven't solved the problem at all. So just like back in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible being profitable for doctrine, basic understanding, for reproof, stop that, don't do it anymore. For correction, do this instead. And instruction in righteousness, and this is the path you go to stay on it. The stop doing that is obvious, is right there, putting away lying and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's the stop doing. You do have to put a piece of tape over your mouth. You do have to put a muzzle over that so that you stop that, but that's not the end of it. The next pieces are, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And instead of corrupt communication, speaking that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. When somebody is no longer a corrupt communicator, it's when they are a positive, correct communicator. They're not a liar anymore when they're a truth teller. And so you have to do the put off, stop doing this, and put on, start doing that. It's not just clam up and don't talk anymore. It's say the right things. Practice what you're going to say. Look into a mirror and see yourself saying these things. Even maybe record yourself and say, wow, I sound really weird when I listen to myself. But you don't become a better communicator, a non-corrupt communicator by just stopping the bad stuff. You've got to make sure you replace it with positive communication, replacing lying with speaking the truth. So speaking is still a piece that you have to do. The second one is in, the second example is in 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. These are linked together. Be angry and sin not. So don't engage in that, in the wrath or in blowing it up. Sin not. Don't, if you're angry about something, don't just go out and punch a tree or punch the person. You've got to not sin. Don't sin. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a time thing. You need to deal with that before the day's over. Because if you sleep on it, it's going to fester in you. You're going to be mad about it. And neither give place to the devil, because that's what that does. Going to sleep, resting your mind with that anger toward whatever it is going to give a place for the devil in your life to be able to use that against you. not a full example, not perfect, but an example of this nonetheless. Moving on to number 28, and this is a good one. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. So you've got somebody who's a thief. How do you make them not a thief anymore? You don't chop off their hands, like over in the Middle East. You find a thief, you know, chop the hand off. That doesn't stop the person from being a thief. They're still going to take things with their other hand, or they're going to find a prosthetic limb and still take things. So when do you convert a thief into a not thief? How do they become a proper person? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So the thief is no longer a thief when you have worked them through a process where they are now working with their own hands to generate something productive. They are now producing something all for themselves. No, when they are producing enough of something that they have to be able to give. So the thief is no longer a thief, not when he's just stopped taking other people's things. He is no longer a thief. He's been converted over. He's the put off and put on when he is a giver, when he has worked hard to make enough to have his own, you know, work for himself in order to give it to other people. If he just stops at halfway, he's not finishing the course. So if you're having trouble with stealing, you need to work on developing what you can, work, earn money, earn whatever, in order to be able to give it away. And you have a pretty good gauge of whether or not you're still a thief if you're actually taking the things that God has given to you, that you have earned, that you've worked hard, and giving those things to other people. The next one we skip down because we'd already covered 29 and 30, verse 31 and 32. It kind of like a summary, and it kind of ties back to the anger. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, referencing back to that one again as well, be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this bitterness, wrath, all these horrible things, you've got to put them off, you've got to stop doing those. But don't just become a hermit in a little monastery. Don't become a little monk and isolate yourself from the world. You got to put off those things and put on, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In all these things, this replacement therapy of putting off and putting on in God's pattern, it comes down to being engaged in your life. A lot of times we just run things on autopilot. Things just kind of coast and we just do whatever is happening. But Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So engage yourself in this process, the put off, put on process. Now maybe you say, oh, I don't have trouble with any of these. These are just a few examples from here. And you can find plenty more in the Bible of what do I do about this? What do I do about that? I don't have all the answers right here in front of me, but they're there. Because God has promised that his word is there, it's profitable for these things so that you are engaged, you are thoroughly furnished, you have the tools that you need to do a productive job. So make sure you put intentions behind your actions. Don't just drive on autopilot. Think about what you're doing, and if there's a put off, put on, or you don't know what, you know, don't know what to do about a particular situation, seek the advice of godly people, biblical counselors. What does the Bible say about that thing? And what examples are in the Bible? That the entire Old Testament is there as our example of how God dealt with his people, how they responded, things they did that were right and wrong. So go back to that. What is on this? So, you know, good concordance or a topical Bible, those are all great tools in order to find out what God says about something. So just thought that's what I would share with you and not confuse you by sending out this handout to anybody. Comments or questions?